Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. How about that? We live on a globe, I guess. I'm used to my Friday opening there. I missed my Friday show this past week, but good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220. The Word, I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening, and I hope you'll be able to join in the conversation. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'd love to have you call. If you got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to use the medium that we have here with the radio and also on the internet. Pray that you bless the program tonight. Help us to be a blessing and encouragement to somebody this evening. Help us that are to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you and use us for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. And like I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And we would love to have you come out and visit us sometime. You can find out more information about us, about our church, about the program, if you go online to our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And we'd love to have you come out and visit even too if you haven't got a church in the area that you're going to, not going to a church that preaches the Word of God. We'd love to have you come out and give us a visit. Also, if you've got your own church and you'd just like to come out on our Friday night Bible study, we have an open Bible study every Friday night that you're more than welcome to come out to every Friday night from 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock. It's open, it's informal. And it's much like the program here tonight. People bring questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word, and we go from there. So let's see. What else did I want to mention here before we get into a couple of things here this evening? Also, like I said, check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. You can look at some of our past programs there, and you can also read some different articles and things. I'm just getting ready to put up a new article, As in the Days of Noah, and that's based on a prophecy that Jesus made about what it would be like in the last days. And so got some of those things coming up, hopefully, in the near future. Let's see, a number of other things we'll get to, I'm sure, over the course of time, but like I said, we'll get to your phone calls here this evening, and I believe we've got Nancy waiting already. We'll jump right into our call with Nancy here tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program tonight. Hello, Nancy.
Wonderful Bible study.
Oh, wait, I missed the beginning there, Nancy. We didn't catch you. Had to start over there. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hi.
Well, thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me now?
I got you now.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for a wonderful Bible study Friday night, as usual. And Eric and Damon really enjoyed the Bible study. Now, my question tonight is about the prodigal son. I know many, many preachers have preached on it many times, and I've heard different interpretations. I was just curious if the son, you know, that went off and spent all of his inheritance, was he saved to begin with and then backslidden, or was he just totally lost and then came to Christ? And then I wanted to ask you, don't you think the father was foolish to give his son, a young man, his entire inheritance early? Because, you know, it's sort of well known that young people often don't use wisdom if given a big amount of money. Is there any evidence that the father was saved?
Well, let's go take a look at the prodigal son here. And
Luke 13.
Let me get over here to Luke 13. Oops, we'll find it here.
Oh, I
15. Yeah, I'm just thumbing through here. Just a minute here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he says, "My son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found."
Yeah, give me just a moment here. I'm trying to do two things at one time here.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, and Luke. And where are we at here again? Luke chapter 15, and we've got the prodigal son here. Let's take a look at what we got here. Remember, it's a parable, okay? So Jesus is giving a story. It's not based on an actual event because it's a parable. Okay. A parable's like a fable. Remember Aesop's fables, things like that?
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be things inside of the parable that are understandable. There's going to be things inside the parable that people can relate to. And generally speaking, in Jesus' parables, they all involve natural situations that you could expect. Particular case right here, I'm sure everybody listening to Jesus could understand what it's like to have a son that wants his inheritance so he can go out in the world on his own. You know, they would have understood that principle. And so the idea of the son and the father, there's a relationship there. And as we come down to this, actually, Jesus is giving a series of parables here, because in chapter 15 here, he's speaking to the publicans and others. In fact, in verse 1, it says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And so now he begins a series of parables. First one being the parable of the man with 100 sheep, and one leaves, and he leaves the 90, or one gets lost, and one he leaves the 99 to go search for the one that's lost. And when he finds it, he comes home rejoicing. And then the next one is the woman with the 10 pieces of silver, and she loses a piece, and she searches diligently until she finds it. And when she finds it, she rejoices over it. And so now we come to the situation with the man with the two sons, the younger being the prodigal. And we have, if I can phrase it this way, we have a man who has two sons. He loses one son and then finds him again, and he rejoices. See the pattern that's in all three parables? The loss of something valuable to the owner, or in this case, the father, and then the finding of that which was lost, the regaining of that which was lost, and then the rejoicing that takes place. Now, there's obviously some other things going on in the prodigal son parable, but the son was, well, the prodigal son, he's the son. He was the son of the father before he had his inheritance. He was the son of the father when he received his inheritance. He was the son of the father when he left. So he always was the son of the father. And so he always belonged to him, but he left, and he wasted everything that the father had given to him. And, you know, it's been a while since I preached or taught on the prodigal son, but when you're looking at it, the fact that he's addressing the Jewish people here, for one thing, right? And so we can see that the Jewish people who belong to God, right? They belong to him. They're his people. He called them, and he has promises for them. And right now, they're currently lost to him. Because they've essentially squandered that which they had, and one day they will come back to him. Romans chapter 11 says that the nation will be saved, you know, as if in a day. We see that in Zechariah. Let me hold my finger here in Luke for just a minute and go back to Zechariah, second to the last book of the Old Testament. And it says in Zechariah chapter 14, Zechariah chapter 14, it says, let's see, I'm going to come down here to verse number, we're looking at the final battle when Jesus comes back and stands on the Mount of Olives and it splits in two. But let's go a little further back, actually, not chapter 14. Let's go back to chapter 12. Because chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14 describes events at the end of the tribulation period. It describes events that are taking place when Jesus returns and defeats the enemy or the armies of the Antichrist and all. And here's where we're at in Zechariah chapter 12 and verse number 7. It says, "The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them in that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them." And it continues talking about how God's going to defend them, and he's going to empower them during this battle, during the Battle of Armageddon. Mm-hmm. "And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem." Then he says this in verse 10, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And that day there shall be great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddon." And so we see them looking upon whom they have pierced. And this is where they realize who Jesus Christ is. And I believe that this is what Paul was talking about when he said in Romans chapter 11, let me flip over there real quick, where he's talking about the Jewish people. And he says in chapter 11, starts in verse 1, "I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin." What he's saying here is God's not cast them away. And then as you come down further into the chapter here, it says, talking about Israel here, he says in verse 25, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, till the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with unto them, when I shall take away their sins." So it's talking about Israel coming to Christ. And so in this one sense here, we can make an application here in Luke chapter 15 that the one son demanded his inheritance, and he fell away from the father, and he essentially disavowed his relationship with his father, and he went off and he was in a foreign land. Which, of course, that happened to the Jewish people, remember. They lost their land. They were dispersed through the world. Of course, now they have their land back, the nation of Israel there. And when we look at what's going on here, Israel is going to come to the realization who Jesus is, and they're going to come back to him, and that which God has has lost, essentially, will be found, will be returned, and they'll be rejoicing, obviously, when we go into the millennial kingdom. So that's one possible way of looking at this when you think about it in that respect. We also talk about the idea of somebody who's backslidden, but I keep remembering he's addressing the Jewish people. And the audience that he's talking to are the scribes and the Pharisees. He's not talking to his disciples here. He's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. And I think this was a warning that they're going to, that Israel's going to depart. They're going to demand and you know, that they get everything, and then they're going to go off into the world and they're going to be wasted, which is what we saw happen. So I think mm-hmm. there's some evidence mm-hmm. there. But if we make application towards a person who is saved, who backslides, you know, in that case, the relationship is still there. We can okay. backslide, but the relationship is still there. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I believe it was, that we're in his hand, and he would never, no one can take us out of his hand. It says we're in the Father's hand. No one can take us out of the Father's hand. And so even though we may turn our back on the Lord and try to go off into the world, ultimately we're going to waste our substance with riotous living. But okay. if we belong to Christ, if we belong to God, we're going to come to ourselves eventually, and we're mm-hmm. going to humble ourselves and turn back to him. And mm-hmm. when we do, God is willing and waiting to receive us and to celebrate, because the backslider has come back home. Now, I'm not talking about mm-hmm. losing salvation or anything like that. People who teach that yeah. you can lose your salvation, they're saying that the relationship is severed. This young man's mm-hmm. relationship is never severed. His mm-hmm. he's never ceases to be the Father's son. In fact, when he comes, he says to himself in verse 19, Luke 15, verse 19, he says, I am no more, he says he's going to tell his father that he's no more worthy to be called thy son. Mm-hmm. See, he doesn't consider himself to be worthy of being his mm-hmm. father's son anymore. But yeah. when he gets there and he sees his father, when the young man says to him, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son, the father has nothing to do with that. Instead, he says in verse 24, for this my son was dead. Dead in the sense that he was separated from me, because that's ultimately what death is.
Oh.
And is alive again, meaning he's restored back to me. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. And you know, look at what was said in the other two parables. Here we have when the sheep wandered off, and he found the sheep in here in chapter 15 and verse number 5. And when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And then, of course, it says, and I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And then we have the pieces of silver, and when she finds it, in verse number 9, it says, and when she hath found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. And again, that's what we see here. He's saying, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. So it's the same kind of a pattern here.
Mm-hmm.
So,
thank you for explaining it.
So that's right.
I looked at it this way.
Yeah, and now I know we can make application, because this is a parable, and so in the application, you know, if we're, you know, applying it to the situations of people who are saved and people who are lost in terms of being born again Christians, you have to remember it was spoken to the Jews. It was spoken mm-hmm. to the leaders of the Jews, the scribes and the Pharisees, the teachers, you know, the people.
Oh.
And uh-huh. and he was trying to express to them about how the Jewish people were lost and God searched for them, just like he searched for the sheep. He searched for the mm-hmm. woman searched for the coin. And some of the Jewish people, of course, they did come to themselves, and they came to mm-hmm. him. Paul is a prime example of that, and the disciples and others. But today, obviously, in this, you know, this dispensation of grace, we can look at this too, because We have our Heavenly Father, and we may wander, but when we come to ourself and we realize that the world has nothing for us and the world really isn't our friend like he did, because remember, as long as he had money, there's an old Hank Williams country song, remember? And a line was something like, if you have the money, honey, I'll have the time. And when you run out of money, I'll run out of time. Well, that's what his friends were like. They must have been Hank Williams fans. He ran out of money and they ran out of time.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where he wound up in the pig pen, of course, eating the food the pigs are eating. And think about that, too. He's talking to the Jews about a guy that they would assume was a Jewish man living and feeding the pigs and eating the pigs' food. Remember, the pigs were an abomination to the Jews. So he's painting a picture of this son descending into the worst possible situations that a Jewish man could be in, feeding pigs and fighting with the pigs over the food that he was feeding them.
Wow, that's pretty terrific.
Finally, and if you think about that in Zechariah chapter 12, where we saw that when we're at the coming to the end of the tribulation period, when they're at such a point I don't want to use the word history. This is prehistory. This is what's going to happen in the future. They're at a point where they're going to approach things where they're about to be destroyed completely. And he says, and they come back to him, and they look upon whom they have pierced. The Bible says they mourn, and I think part of the reason they mourn is because they realize, you know what? We could have realized he was the Messiah a lot earlier. Why did we wait so long? Why did we wait 2,000 years?
Yeah.
So
hindsight's always better than foresight.
Yeah. So, you know, so there's some interesting applications there. But like I said, we can make applications to believers today who kind of backslide and they get off into the world and then eventually come to themselves and they come back. And when they do, God doesn't say, well, I don't want you anymore. Instead, he welcomes us with open arms and rejoices.
Mm-hmm.
So for the...
Thank you.
Yeah, so just one final thought for the application today. It doesn't matter how far a Christian has backslidden. If he comes himself and turns back to God, God will welcome you back with open arms into a full relationship there. So
Now, do you think that it's more of a chance that he was backslidden or he just totally lost? And he came, you know.
Well, I think he's backslidden because he's a son, and it's his father. There's a family relationship which never ended, even though he ran off.
Yeah, I thought it was backslidden, too. I've heard different preachers give different interpretations.
Well, and like I said, oftentimes there'll be different applications and applied in different ways. But, too, when you remember who the audience is. It's addressed to the Jews in this situation.
I just never thought of it applying to the Jews, an analogy. That was very, very interesting.
Yeah,
thank you very much. Okay.
All right. Well, hopefully then that was a blessing. I appreciate the call tonight, Nancy. So thank you so much for that. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we're going to get Tom in here. We trying to get him last week, but we missed his call. Tom, welcome to the program tonight.
Thank you for taking my call. Just a real quick question,
yes,
Pastor
sir.
Al, following up on Nancy's call there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have always looked at the Bible from the standpoint that, you know, the Bible is, inspired. It was written, but it was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and that we can trust the Bible as being true and accurate from cover to cover. Okay, and we know that Jesus spoke in parables,
right?
But I have been told too over the years that even though he talked in parables, some of those parables could have either applied either to himself, the Father in heaven, or to real people at occasions. So, here's my question: So is there allegory in the Bible, or is it just parables and maybe things that are symbolic? Should we look at Revelation, like some of those descriptions of beasts and everything else that is allegory?
Well, yeah, and that is a good question.
How do we approach that when people ask us? And I've had people over the years a few times tell me, oh, listen, they don't believe the Bible is 100% true because they think it's fictional. And they've raised these very few same questions that,
right.
So how do we approach that if we're looking at it as fundamental believers,
mm-hmm.
that the Bible is 100% accurate and everything it's telling us? How do we approach this with the allegory, the symbolism, and the parables?
Yeah, we're coming up on the break, so I kind of have to make it quick. We read the Bible, in a sense, the way that you would read a newspaper. If the plain sense makes common sense, seek no other sense, people often say. We try and keep things in context. But oftentimes, the symbolic, allegorical language is given to us just the way it would be in any other sort of writing. His voice was as the sound of many waters. That doesn't mean it was the sound of many. It says as, meaning like it. It's similar. So it's an illustrative thing. And there are some allegorical type things in the sense that parables oftentimes, the parable of the sower and the seed, and the ground being the human heart, the seed being the word of God, that you could say is allegorical in that sense. And so oftentimes it very clearly tells us, I was going to say there's some things that seemed allegorical because people didn't understand them, and then later on we saw where they were actually very factual in the way that they were put together.
We take things like, you know, that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish the Lord prepared as being literal.
Jesus did. Jesus.
I've had people say, how could that be? They don't believe that.
Well, there was a sailor, hunting whales in the 1800s who was swallowed by a whale, and he survived. He went there for 3 days.
Yeah.
National Geographic, about 20-some years ago, ran an article saying that it would be possible for a human being to actually be swallowed by a whale shark, and the way they feed, and it could have been enough air in there to sustain them for 3 days. This was in National Geographic about 20-some years ago. And then the whale shark, things that it can't digest, it turns its stomach inside out and literally vomits out everything that it can't digest, which would include the human being. Jesus, though, the fact of the matter is, in Jesus' prophecy of how long he would be in the grave, he said, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, the Son of Man would be 3 days, 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So basically he's saying Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale. And a whale did not necessarily mean a blue whale or a humpback whale or something. It meant a great fish, a great big marine animal. Whales and fish were classed as the same thing by them. We know they're whales that we call them today are mammals, and a whale shark is a fish, and we separate. But both of them would have been called a great fish back then.
Very good. I believe it, but it's hard to explain to other people sometimes.
Well, I mean,
they trip over that stuff. And
some of the stuff is entirely possible, but there's also miraculous things as well. The parting of the Red Sea was miraculous.
Yeah, and I think there's some things we just can't accurately explain.
And some things ultimately we accept by faith.
Right. There are mysteries with God.
But again, it boils down to, like, I remember one guy I used to counsel with, and whenever he couldn't understand something, he never gave God the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
He always assumed God was wrong. Well, and that's a problem in your Christian life.
Yeah.
We need to give God the benefit of the doubt. If we don't understand something, well, just keep reading and studying the Bible, and eventually, and praying about it, eventually, more often than not, you'll begin to understand it. You'll find other things, or you'll talk to somebody who helps you understand it. And the things that are hard to understand, and there are some things the Bible says are hard to understand, you'll gain understanding.
Okay.
So, but appreciate that, Tom. Thank you so much for calling.
Okay.
All right. God bless. And we're coming up on a short break. And don't go away. We'll be here till midnight tonight. So stay tuned. Got another half hour to go.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. You can call toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Brought to you tonight by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor, and we just had some information about that. Have more at the end of the program. Also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza in at 4889 Turney Road. That's right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. 4889 Turney Road, right across the street, is from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call for pickup at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And mention that you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al. All right, we're going to get back to our program here as well. Again, that phone number is 888-677-9673. And we've got Mark on the line. Mark, welcome to the program this evening.
Hey, Pastor Al, how you doing?
I am doing well. How about yourself?
Pretty good. This is, or okay, I guess, under the circumstances.
Okay.
I don't want to be under them.
Yeah.
I'm Mark from Marysville. I've called in before.
Oh yeah. And I think last time we talked, you were about a car repair that you were praying about.
Yeah, that
if got I got the right
fixed.
Guy.
Yeah, that got fixed. Praise God.
Oh, amen.
Doubt. What's yeah. that?
I said amen.
Okay. But the other thing, December 2019 and then early January 2020, the Lord impressed upon me two verses to pray for myself
mm-hmm.
throughout the year. One was, I have learned to be content in whatever state I am in, or words to that effect from Philippians.
Right.
I forget the exact quote. And the other is, in everything give thanks, from Thessalonians.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried to do that, just be thankful for every little thing. But also, for the past couple of years, I've really been, I'll just say, begging God to fulfill Psalm 68, verse 6 for me, which is, God setteth the solitary in families.
Mm-hmm.
And some Bible commentators say that that can also be interpreted, God makes a home for the lonely.
Yeah.
Or alone, and I'm a single guy. And I've been where I'm at for 15 years, renting a small house, and although the landlord hasn't reimbursed me, I've kept track of the repairs that needed made that I've noticed, some mm-hmm. of which have been dangerous, you know, undangerously close to causing problems, and then also the crime that has gone on here. And 6 months ago, a not-for-profit looked into buying the place, and after I talked to the president of the not-for-profit, and I told him what I've done here for the past 15 years, he said, you're the type of person we need to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect that, but I was happy that he said that. And they basically, over the next couple months, told me through an intermediary that I would be able to stay, but the other four tenants had to move out, which would have been good in regards to one tenant who didn't have a background check and almost got arrested
mm-hmm.
for aiding and abetting or obstruction of justice when there was a drug problem here. Well, today the landlord showed that property to another individual. Turns out the not-for-profit has backed out. After 6 months, they finally got an answer, and it was a no, which is, to me, is rude to the landlord. But that's another story. But I would really appreciate prayers because, honestly, the past 5 years have just been demonic. And with drugs, and I mean, I almost got jumped by one of the heroin addicts that was over here. They've since been evicted. And I would really appreciate prayers that God would intervene because I just turned 60 a month or two ago, and the past couple of months I've been praying, Lord, I can't take any more surprises. COVID is bad enough with the chaos it's causing, and then my family just there was cult involvement years
mm-hmm.
ago. I, by the grace of God, came out of that, and I'm worn out, and I'm really asking for prayer that God would intervene, that a good person would buy this place, and that, honestly, that this one neighbor that's over here who has caused so much trouble, even yelling and screaming and F-bombing little 1- and 2-year-old kids that were being babysat up above him in the middle of the day. I mean, he's just a very bad individual.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just asking for prayer. I mean, I know you don't, you know, generally take just prayer requests.
Right.
I'm tired, and it's like, I just,
I was going to ask then, so basically what you'd be looking for is people to pray for God to protect you and intervene on the purchase of the building that you're in, right?
Amen. Amen.
And
I want a peaceful place to live. This place was peaceful the first, like, 6 years I was here, and then drugs started coming and going, mainly going, but
mm-hmm.
The past 5 years, it's just been, a lot of it's just been because of that one tenant that moved in without a background check and should never got let in. And the cops and the sheriff's department told me stuff about him. And it's like, you know, he's just, he just kind of thumbs his nose at everything, too. And, you know, with all the drugs and stuff he's done, there is a demonic protection around him. You know, a lot of people don't believe that, but I do. So.
Well, and the devil does often protect his own. Let me give you a verse that came to mind when you're talking about this. It's not normally thought of in terms of maybe your situation, but in 1 Timothy chapter 2, where he says in verses 1 and 2, and I've used this on the radio regarding, you know, the political scene, but it says, if you look at it, though, you can see the application to your situation.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and here's where it applies to you. This is verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority. And then let me read this, and then I'll come back to it. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, which sounds like that's what you want to do, a quiet, peaceable life in all godliness and honesty.
Yeah.
Having a landlord means you have somebody in authority over you.
Yeah.
That's why the term lord is in there, landlord. He's the one that has sovereignty over the land in which you occupy, you know, the real estate that you live on, because he's the owner of the building or whatever, or if they're the managers or whatever. So they're in authority over you and the others who live there. And so that's why this came to my mind, what you're talking about. And let me encourage our listeners to pray for Mark, that whoever buys this building, that they would restore the order and everything necessary, that Mark and the others that live there could have a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I mean, this is what the Bible says.
Yeah.
And that sounds to me, and remembering, you know, when we were talking in the past, this sounds like, you know, what you're looking at, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. It's, I will say one thing about my landlord. He's great at keeping the place up. He doesn't mm-hmm. raise rent ever. I'm paying the same as now as what I did 15 years ago, which is pretty unheard of.
Yeah.
However, he's 89 years old. He's a 33rd degree Freemason.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he is in demonic deception, and I have seen that with the tenants that have left in the past or been evicted, the ones that have been on drugs. Anytime they've lied to him, he's believed them.
Mm-hmm.
Almost any time, because he's relayed a few things to me, and even like the court bailiff told me some stuff, and the court bailiff kind of shook his head. And I don't say that to belittle him, but he is in demonic deception, and he falls prey to the charms, if you will, of mm-hmm. the criminals that have been here in the past.
Right.
And he has not taken action against this current tenant that's here that should have got hauled off a couple years ago.
Right.
So, yeah, I agree with that. I mean, that is a good verse because, it's his place. He is an authority.
Yeah. And when somebody buys the place, then they will become the authority. So yes. I think it's wise to pray for the person who's going to become the authority, too.
Yes. The person that looked at it today, they're a lawyer here in town, and then I got called up my cousin, who is slightly younger than me. He owns properties, and I told him it's back up for sale. And are you still there?
Yes.
Okay.
You're kind of
I heard a
phone clicked a little bit there. Yeah.
And so my cousin may look into it also, which I wouldn't mind, you know, renting off a cousin because he's a decent guy.
Yeah.
But, I'm frustrated because it's just with my family coming out of that cult, and by the grace of God, that cult is just, they're dying. Thank mm-hmm. God they're dying off, so to speak. But with the family being involved in a cult and my extended family. I mean, I got a niece mm-hmm. whose mom and dad were in this cult for like 30 years, and the niece and her husband are turning their little son into a girl.
Mm.
And that's just pretty much par for the course with my family. So, and I'll just leave it at that. He needs prayer more than anybody. His name's Clifton, and he's 8, and his parents are just nuts. I'm sorry, that's just a polite way to put it. But that's my family. And between that and then living over here, it's like, Lord, help.
Yeah.
You know.
Well,
so,
Mark, why don't we have a quick word of prayer, because I do have another caller to get to yet before we run out of time here tonight. But, I encourage people to pray for Mark that his current landlord, who is an authority over him, would begin to respond in the right way, and that God would oversee who becomes the next landlord.
Amen.
So that certainly Mark and others that are living there could lead, as the Bible says here in 1 Timothy 2, that he can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. In fact, the next verse says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior.
Yeah.
And pray for his nephew Clifton. So let's do that real quick here, Mark, before we run out of time, okay?
Thanks.
All right. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do pray for Mark here this evening. You know the situation better than we do, even better than Mark does. And Father, we just claim this passage where you say to pray for all in authority over us, and certainly a landlord. He has authority over Mark in his life, where he lives, the building, and the people that live there. And though he's selling the place and not going to be there that much longer in that sense, Lord, it's still, we do pray that you would just touch his heart and help him to see the need to move some of these people out there. They're causing problems. Also, we do pray for the person that buys this facility, this building, that you would have somebody come in that would also see the need to clean up those who are in there, just like with the nonprofit that was looking at it, that they would see the need to bring these other people out, and that Mark would have the opportunity and others that come in to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, as the scripture says. Pray for Mark that you put a hedge of protection around about him and intervene in his life, and especially in regards to this apartment building. Also pray for his nephew Clifton, Lord. And at 8 years old, he's certainly not in a position to make a sensible, informed decision, but likely is being pressured by family and coerced and manipulated into doing something that'll have detrimental effects on him for the rest of his life. Father, again, we just pray that you would overturn these plans to forcibly change Clifton, transgendered from male to female, Lord, and we just pray that you'd prevent them from doing that. And again, we do pray the salvation of Mark's family members, Lord, that you deliver them from this cult, Lord, and continue to work in his life. Thank you again. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. God bless you.
All right, Mark, you take care. God bless. I know people will be praying for you, so we'll pray God intervenes and moves. Thank you so much. And you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we've got Terry waiting for us as well. Terry, welcome to the program this evening.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening. Hey, Terry, I was going to mention that pastor in Calgary is back in the news again. Did you see that?
No, I didn't notice that, no.
Trying to think of his name here off the top of my head. I don't have it up on my computer, but you just reminded me. The local health inspector came to his church again during service time. And this time, apparently, they had the doors locked and they were banging on the doors and he wouldn't let him in. And so here's this woman. She seemed a little more nervous than she did the last time, I think partly because she realized she became a media sensation, because that video of her the last time on Good Friday that they tried to interrupt the services the last time. And I guess she must have realized that thing just about went viral. There were people all over, talk shows all over the country were talking about it and everything. And any rate, she came back and she said, "We just want to come in and stand in the back of the auditorium during the service." Yeah. What do you have a health inspector come in with half a dozen police officers and stand in the back of your auditorium for during the service? It was disruptive, to be sure. And didn't you say there's a law or a in Canada about disrupting services?
I don't know. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I think you had mentioned something about there's a law or something in there, or somebody else maybe perhaps did it. But at any rate, I just saying that guy was in the news again. And it's well worth watching the video again to see what transpires there. I hope the next step isn't that they arrest him like some other pastors have been arrested. But anyway, just made me think about that when you answered there. So, but welcome to the program tonight, Terry.
Well, thanks. I listened to that a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about into it afterwards, what was going on there in Calgary.
Yeah.
One thing that came to me about when Mark was talking, let your light shine. The best way to be an example to others, and that they see something different about this, is to let our light shine before men, that men might see our good works and glorify the Father which
right.
is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that came to me. And another thing that came to me is Nancy was talking about. Oh, now I lost it.
Yeah.
Well, anyhow, just things come to me all the time. But I've been studying, like I still study the Mormons.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that I would bring a bit of that tonight up, if I could.
Yes.
One thing about Joseph Smith is that he was either a prophet of God, divinely called, properly anointed and commissioned.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the biggest frauds this world has ever seen. And that's, you know, this is a red flag, right?
Right.
About Joseph Smith. One thing, Joseph Smith had visit from God, the Father, and the Son.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another red flag.
Right, because if I remember correctly, and since you've been looking at this too, maybe you can clarify. He claimed that it was like three individuals that came and visited him, wasn't it?
Two, the Father and the Son.
Oh, that's right, the Father and Son.
And
two,
and the angel, and the angel Moroni.
Yeah, Moroni.
And the Moroni said that all the churches were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Don't believe any of
them. Right, and actually there was no truth from the time that Christ was here until the time that Joseph Smith came around, basically.
Right.
Yeah, and it's really is interesting because living here in northeastern Ohio, not too far from where I'm sitting right now, is in Kirtland, Ohio, when Joseph Smith was basically forced to leave New York after, you know, I think he was sued for plagiarism because the Book of Mormon was basically plagiarized from a fictional book that a pastor, a reverend, was writing. Be that as it may, he was considered a shyster and a charlatan and everything like that. He was run out of New York, and he wound up here in northeast Ohio, out in Kirtland. And so the original temple that he built there, which looks nothing like some of the following temples, and none of them, of course, look like Solomon's temple, even though they say they're just like Solomon's temple. Not sure where they keep the animals and dispose of the ashes and the blood, but that's neither here nor there, I guess. But it's interesting, the four corners there. I'm trying to remember the last time I was in Kirtland. I think there's a different Mormon group on each corner. The Salt Lake City bunch does not own the original temple. So I think it's reorganized.
I've always been a concerned Christian for the Mormons.
Yeah.
And that's why I believe that we should be, you know, because there's so much deception that they've been taught over the years, hey?
Right.
And you know, the one thing Joseph Smith, and he denied publicly, was that he practiced polygamy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and he tried to hide that. That would have been a red flag right there.
Right, and it was considered necessary to become, you know, successful and to be become a god in Mormonism. A man had to practice polygamy until Utah wanted to become a state, and of course, the idea of being a polygamous state, they would not be allowed into the union. And suddenly, he had a divine revelation conveniently at that time.
And that's ultimately what caused his demise.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was marrying not only he married a lot of different women.
Oh yeah, and
apparently he had about 20 women.
Yeah, and
some
fact,
were already married.
Yeah, in fact, some of I think he took a wife from somebody else as well. Said right. that she really should have been married to him. There was a family in northeast Ohio. I can't remember where it was, out toward Kirtland. It was a fundamentalist Mormon group, and this one guy decided that this other guy's wife and daughter should be his wives, and since they didn't agree to it, he invoked the blood atonement, shedding the blood of this family, and he killed them and buried them in the floor of a barn. I remember that some of people might remember that big story about 30 years or so ago, something like that, but. Hey, Terry, I got one more caller who just called in and would like to get on before the end of the program. But you're right. When you're talking about Mormonism, we need to pray for them, don't we? Because they're involved in a cult for sure. So, all right. I think Terry's gone now. But appreciate that from Terry. And we've got Bruce calling in. Bruce, welcome to the program. Got a couple of minutes here.
Okay, Pastor L. That guy in Canada, his name is Arthur Pawlowski.
Right, Pawlowski. And he's from Poland, and he understands fascism and all that.
Yep. So I spake to him, to use biblical words, spake, on video, a video call, Friday, I believe it was, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me that Christians need to push back against this tyranny. That
was absolutely.
To me, yep. And I agree with him. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, when that first happened, back there when they came in on his Good Friday service, I had posted that online, and I had somebody who, it's terrible that he's doing that. Oh, what a poor example he is as a pastor. And then everybody that responded to that basically said, what are you talking about? This is what we need more of. And I put something on there and basically said, you know, you're the kind of people that allow dictators and fascists to come to power. And he deleted his comment. So
yeah, I believe it.
Because people pushed back. And have you seen the second video?
No, but is it on your Gab site? I joined Gab because of you, Pastor Al.
Yeah,
maybe you could share that to my Gab page.
I think I have it on the Gab site. I have it on one of them. I'm having internet problems here. I was on and then I was off again right here tonight. But otherwise, I checked real quick. But you can see the woman who's the health inspector is noticeably more nervous than she was the last time. Not quite as sure of herself.
Yeah, all right. I know you're out of time, so.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you for taking my call, but thank you for telling me about Gab, too. I joined because of you.
I appreciate that. And thank you for telling me about talking with that pastor. And I encourage people.
He's a nice guy. Yeah, he's nice. Yeah.
Pastor Pulowski in Calgary, Canada. People need to pray for him and his church that God would safeguard, and we need more people with backbone like that.
That's right. Yeah. Well, God bless you, Pastor Al.
Well, thank you, Bruce. God bless. Appreciate the call tonight. And
all right, thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate all of our callers this evening. And again, I hope you'll continue to pray for Mark and his situation there, and pray for Pastor Pulowski in Canada. Pray one for another. We need our prayers of each other more than ever. Thanks for listening. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com.